It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
He's going to tell us what's up, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him because there's a lot of things that are going to happen locally based on a lot of trends globally that you go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, where Joe Salente can tell you all the reasonings behind his dire predictions of the greatest depression that's a coming. Gerald, I got you there.
You have me.
Gerald, I tell you what I want to focus on is that I know we got a lot to talk about, and we just got you for a half hour, so I want to make sure we get right to it. Here in Phoenix and every other metropolis and city and state and community around the planet, they are not going to be immune to what's coming. And I just need you to, you know, help me out, you know, tell us the people how it's going to manifest itself on their street, in their neighborhood, what they need to be preparing for, because we got a lot of activist stuff that's going on here, but it's all under this umbrella of circumstances that's going to affect all of us. What do we have to look forward to?
Current events form future trends. Go back a week and a half ago. Atlanta, Georgia, 30,000 people mob a parking lot looking for 400, hoping that they're going to get one of 455 slots in Section 8 housing.
30,000?
30,000.
Oh, my goodness.
30,000. Look at the numbers coming out. 1 in 10 people are behind, and they are in fear of losing their homes to foreclosure. They're behind in mortgages. Now, that's after all this money has been dumped in. Look at the unemployment numbers. They keep getting worse. Look at all the data. Durable goods, retail sales. There has been no recovery. It's been a cover-up. They covered it up with digital money printed out of thin air, backed by nothing. We're going to start seeing crime levels go far higher than anyone can anticipate. You know, you just, again, look at the facts. This isn't rhetoric. You have in major cities like Phoenix, half the kids aren't graduating high school. And it's even worse than that. When we used to be number one in every aspect of quality of life, education, healthcare, we don't even win place to show. Current events form future trends. We've gone now from number one, the amount of kids, or people, 24 to 35, with college degrees. We just fell now down to number 12. Go back to the high school, as I was talking about. Half these kids aren't graduating high school. Not like having a high school diploma is any great shake, just like having a college diploma isn't. But think about it. Where are they going to find work? Who's going to hire them? They're not going to get work. People with educations and work experience can't get work. You know where these kids are going? I'll tell you the jobs they're going to get. They're going to get a job with a gang. That's the only growth industry in this country. Look at who these kids are. You know, for the grace of God, we're born into their families. You know, their mother's a drug addict. They don't know who their father is, and they're whacked out on crack. You think they're going to blow somebody away for $10 to get it fixed? You bet they are. This country's going down faster. It's a shot down. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. How about that wonderful Dow? I love these hawkers on these TV stations. You know, this is the time to get in. You know, it's a buying opportunity. Yeah, the Dow is at 9,985. You know what we're looking at? You know what we're looking at? We're looking at a Dow that's below where it was in 1999. And then when you put in inflation into that, you're looking at a Dow really trading at about 8,000. You put one piece of statistic on top of another. This is the biggest sellout in American history. I love it. You know, and I'm a political atheist. I mean, anybody to me that believes a politician, you get what you deserve. You know, asking for a politician to tell the truth is like thinking that a prostitute isn't going to ask to get paid. And you listen to Joe Biden yesterday. I mean, I love the fat talk. You know, the economy is going into the right direction. Yeah, if down is the right direction, that's where it's going. People are going to look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. How many people have bought guns? How many people are becoming neo-survivalists? Go to the websites. Get off the grid. You know, neosurvivalism.com. One after another. The people know, the smart people know what's coming down. The only people that are going to go under are those who are not in shape, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and that's going to be about 80%, we estimate.
Okay, this is one thing I want to share with you in the audience, and at the bottom of the hour, I'll tell the audience more, but I just had a meeting with the Phoenix Police Department, came down to the studios, and we're talking about there's a big story breaking here about some cover-up and corruption and so on in the Phoenix Police Department here, and it's a big story. But the point is this. I'm telling them, look, you guys have an opportunity to come clean on this stuff, because assume we know everything. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But I go, as we're going into this greatest depression, as there's going to be this, you know, I don't love my government, you know, none too much. And we have the Phoenix police that in the past, you know, we've had a decent relationship with them. They know that, you know, we'll be out there exercising our rights, and they're there to protect our ability to express ourselves and this kind of stuff. I'm going, it's going to get to the point to where it's going to get so bad that you're going to have to make a decision that you're there to defend our rights and be on our side, or you're going to be the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on my throat government, and you want us on your side. And I'm trying to relay to them that I see, as you do, I mean, we've been watching the same numbers. We've had you on shows for a lot of years before the lame stream media, the media that's so last century knew who you were, and all of a sudden now it's like, dang, man, that Gerald Celente, he's got it going on. Why? Because he knows what's coming, and it's just, you look at history, what happens to this, and I need you to help me explain to the people and to all of these departments of government, and certainly the guys with the guns, that they need to do their job and be the good guys, because they're not going to come out ahead in this thing. They have to do what their oath is, what they're to serve and protect. They're, you know, don't put yourself in a position that you're against the people, because the people, when they rise up, and they will, you need to be on their side, or it's going to get ugly. And I read just one paragraph you had here. I'm going to read this to it. But since I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I am forced to conclude that the spectrum of destructive acts in progress is a handiwork of the power-mad and the greed-driven, interested only in themselves, and therefore either blind or indifferent to the consequences of their actions. This is on your page, a quote from you. And I'm going, the consequences of their actions, how does that manifest itself on, you know, the city streets of?
Well, as I said, you know, they're destroying this country, the political powers, and the Wall Street greed. I mean, who made up this thing too big to fail? Whatever happened to capitalism? Ever since I'm a little kid, they've been drumming that into my head. You got to make it on your own. You 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 pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You make it on your own. Except if you're a member of the Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullet bombs and bank club, then you get a free ride. Listen, what imbecile can't put two and two together? Let's stop from the top. You look at the last bunch of presidents, Harvard, Yale. Look at the Supreme Court, Harvard, Yale. I don't want to hear how smart they are. My forecasting record will blow Bernanke's out of the water. You know, we're putting together our Trends Journal, the autumn edition. And here, this is Bernanke. July 29th, 2005. He's asked a question on CNBC. Tell me, what's the worst case scenario if we see real estate prices actually come down substantially across the country? He says, I guess I don't buy your premise. It's a pretty unlikely possibility. We will never had a decline in house prices on a nationwide basis.
Oh, never until it happened. Never. Well, we'll be right back here. You can see Gerald Celente, man. He's going to paint us a picture. We need to hear it right here in Declare Your Independence. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
How about some truth, justice, and I don't know what the heck used to be the American way. We're going to have Gerald Celente tell us all about it from TrendsResearch.com. You know, let me go ahead and read this one, the paragraph. The purpose of the Trends Journal is to alert, inform, instruct, and empower our readers. This issue is focused mainly on macro, financial, and military trends and how they are being and will be continue to be manipulated. Our intention is to enable our readers to recognize the grand scam, navigate through it, and not be victimized by it. The sure fate of those who smoke the optimism opium pushed by media shills for their power mad and greed driven masters. In essence, the Trends Journal is a lesson in close combat martial arts. Attack the attacker. Action is faster than reaction. So if we're going to have an action, Gerald, I need, you know, help me out here. My audience is, and my friends and me, we're here on a local level. I know how bad it is.
Right,
I need to know what we need to do.
Here's what I do. I cannot give financial advice, so I'll tell you what I do. I'm very heavily invested in gold. We had forecast gold bull run in the Trends Journal in December of 2001 when it was selling at $275 an ounce. Today, as we speak now, gold is trading at?
$1,236.
We're forecasting gold 2,000. And here's the way we're watching this right now. The next breakout point for gold is 1,265 dollars. From there, we look at $1,300, and then we watch it in that range. But we're looking for it to hit 2,000. Number two, what I do, you know, we have a business here. We need cash, and I have to put money in retirement and that kind of thing. I put my money in a third in dollars. I'm 80% in gold. What I have left over, a third in dollars, a third in Swiss francs, and a third in Canadian dollars. Swiss, to me, are the money cockroaches of the world. They're not going anywhere. Canada's in a lot better shape than the U.S. What I do is I hedge that money. All I want to do with that is stay a little bit ahead of inflation and take minimal risk. Gold is my wild card.
Tell me about silver.
Silver is, I'm not as well versed in silver, but from all I see and what I know, it's a good investment for a lot of people, and I have some, but not nearly as much as gold. And for those that can't afford gold, it appears that silver is very, very solid as well. I don't believe there's going to be commodity inflation. I believe more in a devaluation. For example, go back to 9/11, Ernest. You know the first thing they did? They closed Wall Street. if you had certificates of deposit like I had, and I tried to get them out because I wanted to get away from the area, I didn't know if they were going to hit the nuclear power plant point, the nuclear power plant at Indian Point, just north of Ground Zero, I was ready to go to Canada. I wanted my money, my guns, and my gold, and I wanted to get out of here if that kind of chaos happened. I couldn't cash out because CDs are traded on Wall Street, they told me. We believe there's going to be a terrorist strike of 9/11 magnitude, and I say that because we also believe that the foreign policy is going to drive us in that direction. People get really tight when you stay in their country, you invade them, and now we're moving into Yemen, and we're moving into Pakistan with the drone attacks. So expect a terrorist strike. I'm saying that because in the event of that kind of significant 9/11 magnitude terrorist strike, we're saying this time they will close the banks. The last time they closed Wall Street, the last time they closed the banks in 1933, the Emergency Banking Act under FDR, they confiscated the people's gold. The reason they did that because the dollar was pegged to gold back then. And gold, the dollar was pegged at $20.62 an ounce. When they got all the gold in, they re-pegged gold to $35 an ounce. They never tell you this in the history books. They devalue the dollar. That was one of the great reasons for the Great Depression. What the people's money wasn't worth a half of what it was before. And we believe they're going to do the same thing.
Okay, one thing I want to ask you about, you be the guy, hopefully you'll know, these different financial instruments that they have, I think they call them ETFs. You know, you want to transfer your retirement into gold, okay, well, you don't get to hold it, but we're going to let you do that in this fund that kind of based on gold, sort of, we turned it into paper another way. You know, is that a viable option? Or
There's a lot of question about it, and you really don't know. But somebody told me, and I have gold in ETFs because of my IRAs, but someone told me, and I have to check this out, that you could put gold into America, the Eagles and American coinage, and that's just as good. I don't know, but I'd like to find that out because if I could do that, I'd rather not put it into ETFs because there is a lot of talk about them not having the money to back that amount of gold. Whether or not that's true, who knows until it happens?
Well, I'm counting on it. I mean, you know, they've taken gold and turned it into paper enough times in various different ways. It's one thing. Recently, we have Dr. Paul going, hey, I want to audit the gold. Do you think there's anything there to audit? I mean, why are they resisting that?
Even if they audit it, it's only going to be a fraction of what our debt and our payments in the future are going to be. There's people that are adding up our real debt to something like $202 trillion. Go on Tech Ticker on Yahoo, and there's this fellow that talks a lot about it from Boston University. So even if we have gold, it's not going to cover much of the bad bets.
So again, I want to get your cortex wiped here and listen to the question. I need your answer on this. That is going to manifest itself in what way in your small community? I live in my neighborhood. I'm going to start seeing my life changed in what way?
Well, depending on the neighborhood you live in. I could tell you right up here, I'm up in upstate New York, Kingston, New York, the first capital of New York State. They busted into the little coffee shop across the street twice. For what? The guy has nothing in there. And, $10 for crack money. You're going to start seeing more of that. But on the positive note, up here in Kingston, we have wonderful farmers markets. We're up here in the Hudson Valley. Anybody that could buy local and support your local community, that's the only way this country is going to thrive. It starts locally. We have to start from the bottom up, the grassroots. Everything local, buy everything local, do everything you can local, from local to state, from state to federal. We have to rebuild America at the bottom up. So there's the positives and the negatives. Anything a community can do to keep supporting each other, that to us is the way out of this. So you're going to see crime on one levels in the areas where it's not too good. And then you're also going to see the areas that are strong community based, they're going to do better than everybody else.
Well, this is the one thing that we've been advocating is the farmer markets and doing transactions in junk silver. You know, we're just going to, hey, man, we're valuing everything. Here's my dimes, man. You got your $1.35 dime. We're going to be trading, and we've already started it. But I'm feeling that, you know, the governments don't like that none too much. You know, they'd rather you go through their mechanisms, machination, make sure they get their cut. And I'm looking at these small communities and the states, and we have the federal government coming out with all kinds of bailout plans because they have to. This is just, it's like they're delaying it for one more election cycle. And the turnout out here in Arizona, our primary is just this last Tuesday. It was very, very low. And
well, who are you going to vote for? I wouldn't turn out either. Isn't it wonderful? McCain is back.
Yeah, you know, well, $20 million will do that. Hey, did you want to stay another segment, Gerald?
I would love to, but I'm sorry I won't be able to, Ernest.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and give out your website. Give it real quick.
TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com. And by the way, we know people are having a tough time. There's a discount request page there. Hit the button.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Somebody does, because it's an effect. It's affecting all of us here on Declare Your Independence. We do our best to try and give you a heads up. You know, this is going because, and of course, we're going to focus on a local thing. That's what we do. We're activists, and a lot of our things are national and international, and that's why we'll bring you Gerald Celente to, you know, try to get some credibility. Man, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Don't listen to these talking. They're just part of the machine. I learned that long time ago. Imagine this, a young man just trying to find the truth in 88, 89, 90, around in there, and I'm meeting with, I'm going to tell the reporters, the newspaper, hey, look what's going, oh my goodness, did you know that? Really? And you know what? They were part of it. They're always part of it. They're like the PR department for the bad guys. Well, Gerald Celente knows this. He's, they have him on all over. I mean, you'll see him on all the major news media going, look, man, I've been telling you this, here it comes again, based on this and this, and here's some facts, and here's some figures, and here's, there's so much stuff that I hesitate, giving you more and more I mean, what is there, a test? You got to write this stuff down. It's numbers, inflation rates, you know, blah, 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 blah. At a certain point, you start to understand, of course you're going to be able to see what's going to happen. You just got to know what to look at. You know, what is rewarded and what is punished? Think about it. What's rewarded? Debt. Bad business decisions, so you get bailouts. Lying, cheating, politicians, sloth, inactivity, dependence, infirmary. No matter any bad thing, there's always the name of a social net that's going to take from the productive and give to those that didn't produce it. It's a transfer of wealth, and it's not even justified. It's just because they can. You know, it's whatever excuse du jour there is. Then you look at the other side, what is punished? Savings. Productivity, a graduated income tax, you know, accumulation of goodies, you know, trying to survive. If you punish the productive and reward the non-productive, how long do you think a society sustains itself under those circumstances? There is always, always, always a reconciliation. There's always a balancing of the books. There's always the only way that they can change human nature is to change humans. I'm worried. There's some, you know, like Gerald Celente, what did you say, man? There's going to be a 9/11 scale terrorist attack. It's like, and what's going to happen? Remember 9/11, irregardless of your opinions about what happened at 9/11, there's one thing, a story we'll put up later. I got an email from someone that was an activist that Young Americans for Liberty, YAL, there's a young man that we've, you know, interviewed before. I've known, you know, in the Levolution. He's a real political. He wants to get inside the Republican Party. I'm going to be a congressman someday. And they have a bunch of positions open for internships for people to get involved in politics, I guess. And they sent out a questionnaire, an application they want you to fill out. And question 8 was, you know, what are the most important issues to you? And it lists a lot of things, like border security and immigration and the Fed, da, 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 da. And one of them, the first one was 9/11. You know, if you check this box, need not go any further. If you don't like it, go whine somewhere else. I mean, that's actually what it said. And I'm like, wow. I mean, have we just written that off? We don't want to know the truth. That's just, who made that decision? Okay, you know, I guess, you know, all the Patriot Act and all of the ramifications of us lying about that one and the 9/11 Commission report and all, we're not going to pay attention to that anymore. Well, you know, we got coming again. You know, what happened then? Well, you go, okay, so let's say it was exactly what the guy said it was. It was Osama bin Laden and these guys, you know, conspired to do whatever. And what was their reasoning? Because you're over here. Because you won't leave us alone. Because you got your military and corporations and the big giant jackboot of U.S. whatever, socially and economically engineering us. Stop. Pay no attention to that. Then we go and we start, like Gerald Celente just said, we start expanding the war into Pakistan and Yemen. And this was early in the Obama administration. They were doing that back then. These drone attacks and so on. Is it on purpose that they're angering? What? And then here we go with Iran. Okay. Do we want to play that game? So would it surprise anyone, you know, that something bad would happen here? Who would be behind it? And how many iPhone, you know, wielding teenagers are going to be chronicling the whole thing, and 10 minutes will be on YouTube? You know, it's going to have to be, you know, a lot of times you would think that an attack by people that want to do harm to the United States government. I'm not even sure they want to do harm to the people. But if they want to, you know, make a big woo-hoo, big terrorist attack, would they want it to be open? They want it to be televised? They want it to be big news? They want to have video from every angle? I would think so. But, you know, what if it wasn't them? Would it be more clandestine? Would it be kind of in the dark of night? Would it be something that, you know, nobody saw, and all of a sudden you just wake up in the morning, there's a big crater somewhere? You know, these are things that I mean, wow. We live in interesting times, but it doesn't matter. What the solution is the same. No matter who does what, when, where, how, the main thing is, what do I try to share with the audience? I want to be here after. We need to be able to survive whatever is coming, to keep breathing in and out, to bring back a sense of community, for us to take care of each other. I wish we had more time with Gerald. We'll schedule him again. We can go and get him, for his time is very in demand, and I'm very happy he's able to spend even a half hour with us. But, you know, I'd love to spend more time with him, but it comes down to this. You know, what is he saying? Buy locally. We have farmer markets here. Arizona, a lot of people don't know. You have water, man. It grows. You know, you got 364 days of sunshine. That's probably not that much, but it's definitely, you know, it's a lot. I mean, today we have overcast. It, you know, it like rained this week. We're like, woohoo, man, we had rain. But the, you know, and then it fills all the lakes and so on, and we're all good. But, you know, I know that Arizona is very fertile. You add water, we can survive. You know, the people here in Arizona, it's, you know, allowed to have access to the water. We can do just fine. Will we? Who controls the water? We're in the desert, so we're dealing with that. What I alluded to before is there's a lot of issues that's going on, and you bring it local. And I did an interview with a radio program in Portland, and they asked her husband listens to the show, and we're on in Portland there, and she's just, you know, yep, man, he listens all the time. And of course I wanted to get your input on local activism. How do you get people to, you know, get snapped out of their satisfaction with what's going on? You know, in Oregon, hey, man, I get to smoke my dope. You know, I'm free. The government's, you know, making sure that everything's green and that we're taken care of and they love us a long time. Is that what's going on? If you want to show whether you're free or not, just, you know, try and provide for your own employment. Can you open a business? What kind of permissions do you have to have? Are you able to use your own land the way you want? Can you drill a well? Can you farm? Can you sell? Can you even share what you produce with somebody else? A lot of places you're not even allowed to do that. Can you sell it? Oh, my goodness. Can you go on the street corner and I got organic, I grew whatever, and can I sell it? Can you barter it? Can you exchange it? This is where government's going to start really, and they are in a lot of places. I'm sure a lot of people listening around the country, they already are in your area. And there's going to be some guy with a shiny badge and the always available gun, and he's going to say, you're not allowed to be here without permission from the government to be able to supply what your neighbor wants and is perfectly willing to pay you for. You're just not. You want to show how free you are, start trying to act like you're free and see what happens. I'll tell you who our top of the hour guest is when we come back, and that'll be interesting too. You guys stay right there. We got more goodies to share with you. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I'm going to miss you, Major. You aren't ready to stay dead. You don't know the rules of the game anymore.
Tell me about it. 8 years ago, this guy was on the hit list.
Budget cuts, dear. Congress blinded us overseas. I was forced to turn to any eyes and ears I could find, even if that meant recruiting the quote-unquote bad guys here.
Budget cuts? Is that what this is about? Operation Honeymoon. You're running a fundraiser.
Fundraiser?
1993. World Trade Center bombing, remember? During the trial, one of the bombers claimed the CIA had advanced knowledge. The diplomat who issued the terrorist visa was CIA. It's not unthinkable they paved the way for the bombing, purely to justify a budget increase.
You're telling me that you're going to fake some terrorist thing just to scare some money out of Congress?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Hennessy, I have no idea how to fake killing 4,000 people. So we're just going to have to do it for real. Oh, blame it on the Muslims, naturally. Then I get my funding. Good night, old girl. Timothy, I'll be in Chopper One.
That is a scene from The Long Kiss Goodnight, 1996, with Gina Davis and Samuel Jackson. And it's one of my favorite movies, you know, for various reasons. One, Gina Davis plays a very strong woman out there kicking butt. And if you got daughters, you know, it's like, yep, you can have James Bond women. This is before, Laura Croft and, Angelina Jolie and so on. So it's a Christmas movie. It's kind of, you know, my wife and, my daughters, they watch While You Were Sleeping and some other Christmas movies and so on. You know, Christmas time, it's Saturday afternoon, one day I get to watch Long Kiss Goodnight. You know, that's my action movie for Christmas. Well, you know, in there, they were referring to just a few years before the first World Trade Center bombing that a lot of people don't even remember that. There was a bomb went off in the parking garage underneath the World Trade Center, and there was an attempt to, I don't know if they really wanted to take out the foundation and blow it up. I guess they learned that, man, if you want to really do it, you got to really do it. And it was, it had a lot of ramifications of that act, but the big thing was, is that some of the people are going, hey man, there was FBI informant and CIA involvement, and this they heck, they're the ones that, you know, supplied the blah blah blah. I mean, it just went on and on. So in this movie, they're talking about another terrorist act that they're going to do so that they could get more funding. So I always remembered that scene in the movie because, one, they reference a real act, and it's just kind of how it works. You know, there's a lot of movies that you have these kinds of things that reference real historical events that a lot of us just forget about. Do you even know that there was a World Trade Center bombing that, you know, it filled the whole place with smoke? That they are evacuating the World Trade Center, that, you know, the terrorists, you know, remember the blind sheik and all this kind of stuff. Then we had, you know, what was one of the movies later, The Siege, with Bruce Willis and Denzel Washington and Ned Benning. And that referencing the same kind of stuff going on in Iran and Iraq and all that. You know, it's just over and over and over and over, you know, wag the dog, same kind of stuff. You know, and these were like movie scripts for 9/11. Whether you believe in the conspiracy theories or not about 9/11, the bottom line was this. It expanded government big time. And a lot of the people that were screaming about the expansion of federal government, they were able to get them to beg for it, or at least allow it. So now we're getting into pat-down searches, TSA and airports. You've been hearing about that? Just last few days, it's coming out, you know, big sis Janet Napolitano, head of the Gestapo, you know, Homeland Security here, former governor of Arizona here. She's going to, yeah, we're going to be patting you down. Your full body scan's not enough? I mean, what is going on? We're being conditioned. It wasn't until it was a couple of years ago, you know, I was traveling a lot during the Levolution thing, going around talking to people, teaching them how to express themselves on freeway overpasses. And I went, remember Sky Harbor National Airport is Phoenix Airport here. And I go into the line, and it was, you know, it really had an impact on me. A lot of people wouldn't even have noticed it. I go in, and you get past the guy checking your passport, driver's license, whatever, and your ticket. You go up to where you take the gray bins out that you got to take everything out and put in. You know, and I always have a lot of electronics with me, so I got to, you know, take out my laptop, take the laptop out of the little case, put it in its own thing, take off your shoes, take off. You know, there's jacket separate, this bag separate. I mean, you know, man, I'm taking up a whole table, you know. So I go through that, and there was a young couple that were probably in their early mid-20s, had two little kids, 2-3 years old, and they're like, you know, okay, and you take off your shoes, and you do this, and there's a TSA guy standing there, and you do this, and you do that, and you get, and I could see what was happening. It's like a generational training. These young, even the parents of these young kids, they don't remember what air travel used to be like. I mean, I remember, you know, before all the Cuban hijacking of planes, you know, take me America kind of stuff, that's the entire country had to go through metal detectors. All right, fine, you go through the metal detectors. But you used to be able to bring your family to the gate, and they'd see you off, or you get off the plane, they'd be standing there. Nope, if you don't have a ticket, you don't get past the, you know, the gate, you know, the metal detectors, the body scans, the pat-down, the anal probes, okay? You don't get to go past that. All right. Then I remember that you used to, a friend of mine, she was an airline stewardess with Eastern Airlines, and I remember she would work, if you traveled between Washington, D.C. and New York, or Boston, New York, around the east over there, they had expresses. You would get on the plane like you were getting on a bus. You go through a metal detector, you'd get on, okay, boom. And as you were in the air, on the taxiway, the airline stewardess would go around to the passengers, taking your credit card, you would pay right there on the plane. You know, it's an express. I'm just, hey, you know, I'm going, I'm catching, hey, bye, honey, I'm going, boom, you get on, you bring your little carry-on, you get on, you sit down, as soon as she gave her credit card, swipe, you know, she even did, they didn't even have the swiping. You know, they had to do the imprint thing, remember? You know, shoop, shoop. They take it down, so it's all good. There was no TSA permission I get to fly. There was no fly list. There was no, all they wanted you to do is go through the metal detector, make sure you didn't have a gun or something, and you're done. Those days are gone. And these young people don't even remember that's how flight used to be. Traveling used to be, I don't know, fairly unpleasant. I mean, not unpleasant. Now it's unpleasant. Now it's like it's on purpose. They want to keep you local. They don't want you traveling. They want you to be, you know, so of course, like, we're going to be going to Malibu to visit with some friends for a few days, and it would be a lot easier to just fly, get there, you know, couple hours, man, boom, done. No. You know, it's within driving range. And I like traveling with my wife. You know, we don't get to spend a lot of time together. So, you know, even though I'm on the computer a lot and everything, she and I get to share the proximity for hours, you know, 8 hours of driving or whatever. We're sitting there enjoying each other's company. So I'm like, you know, I will drive. And that's what's happening around the country. Well, then you would think, you know, after they started doing all this stuff, you go, you know, driving, doesn't suck all the time. Well, here in the Southwest, I mean, you got a long ways to drive to go anywhere, but it's, we're semi-free. Then what happens? Here come the checkpoints. Here comes the, you know, papers, please. So what's going to happen? Gerald Celente and I, we're of the, you know, same mindset. I remember in the summer of 07, I'm writing, you know, the article, the Greatest Depression. Here we go. Because I understood just some basic facts. And the basic fact is this. You're not in control of your destiny. There's somebody else that says you want to do whatever it is that you want to do. There's a form you need to fill out. There's a permission slip you got to have. There's an inspection you're due. There's a license you got to get. There's regulation for everything. Then he had this, what do they call it, Codex Alimentarium. It's, you know, it's, we get to say what your food is, what kind of supplements you get to have, how you get to feed yourself. So what do? We get our own chick, 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 chick. So I got, you know, that's amazing how much they produce. Yeah, 6 chickens I get, like every day I go in, I got at least 4 to 6 eggs. And, you know, it's just, they never stopped laying. It was supposed to be an off season for them sometime, but they haven't stopped yet. So I'm going, okay, cool. Then you have a garden. We do juicing, have organic carrots. I like radishes. They're ready in like 3 weeks, man. Boom. Just keep planting them. So what is it that, are they going to control what we can grow and eat? They want to. They have anything that's on the supermarket. So are you buying grains? Are you stocking up on food? Are you going to make sure that you are able to just survive what's coming? Are you near foreclosure? How many family members, close friends do you have that are, man, they'll tell you, you know, it's a depression. Because a recession, you know, your friend's out of work. A depression is you're out of work. So when you're out of work, guess what we're in? A depression. We need to survive this. We need to make sure that we are able to keep breathing in and out. That is what I'm trying to accomplish. In the next hour, we have a gentleman that was inside the corruption of the bank system, Robert Mazur, author of The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know, but he's at it from, you know, the money laundering and the drug trade and all this involvement in the government and everything. And of course, he's proud that they got the dirty banksters. And I'm going, well, if you just eliminated the drug war, we wouldn't have this problem to begin with. And we'll see where he is on that. But he does have an inside view on just how corrupt the government is when it gets involved with money making. We're going to find out how deep that goes. You know, he wanted to come on. All right, we'll talk about it.